the short history of this church is we started 5 years ago, and we've had several people ask, so why the name Damascus Road? Have I ever been to Damascus? Do I have family that's from Syria? Do I work with terrorists? Did we decide because of the current refugee crisis and that's why it got named that? And the answer to all of those is no. The reason for the name of the church, I'll take a step back first. Jesus is our example of how life should be. We believe that he was the Son of God that came to earth and showed us what God was like and showed us how we were supposed to live. And on the top of your sheets, if you took one, you see a motto for our church that we, the church, as followers of Jesus, will love as Jesus loved and will teach as Jesus taught and will obey as Jesus obeyed. That is our desire. So as we're looking at that, of how do we actually do it, there's a man in the Bible who is in some ways very similar to us. His name is Saul, also known as Paul sometimes. And he was just a human being that, as far as we know, he didn't know Jesus, had not met Jesus during the 33 years of his earthly life. And so, like many of us, maybe it's, okay, if I'm supposed to follow Jesus and be like Jesus, but I didn't have this experience with earthly Jesus, then how do I do that? And Saul, in a way, I think, gives us an example because he does say, follow me as I follow Christ. You see, Saul believed that you could have a living relationship with Jesus because he really is still alive today and that you can interact with him. And we often call that prayer, but that also in his word and in the testimony that we're given in the Bible, these biographies of who Jesus was and what he did and what he taught, that all of those things, we can become more like Jesus. And so in a way, Paul's life gives us a roadmap as a church of how to go from being separated from Jesus to now having that lifestyle and that spirit of Jesus. But that all started with an encounter that we have given in the Bible that happened on the road toward Damascus. And so we've chosen the name Damascus Road for our church because we want to see people go through a similar type of roadmap of going from being separated from Jesus to being conformed to that lifestyle and that spirit that Jesus had. And this story of Saul having an encounter with Jesus is pretty important. It's in the book of Acts 3 different times. You can find that in Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 26. But as we get to this encounter, we'll start with Saul. There were two mentalities that he had that I think are very similar to what we see in a lot of people today. The first mentality was this. Saul would say, my life is comfortable right now, and I don't need Jesus. That's how he was beforehand. Why would I need Jesus? He was very proud of his family. He was very proud of his birthplace. He was proud of where he grew up. He was proud of his cultural heritage. He was proud of his religious heritage. He was proud of how his job was going along, and he was working up in the ranks. He was able to get the authority to do certain things from the leaders in his group. I mean, he's got lots of things going for him, and he didn't feel like he needed Jesus at all. Certainly in Western culture in the Netherlands, you see a lot of people like that as well, that would say, my life is comfortable as it is. I don't need Jesus. The second mentality that he had was even further. It's not just I don't need Jesus, but the church and Christianity is harmful and I should oppose Jesus. That all these people that are saying they're following Jesus, that they're wrongheaded and they're backward, they're bad for society, they're bad for science, they're bad for people's mentality, they just develop hatred and they put us back towards ignorance. And you hear those sorts of things today where people say, you know, Christianity, it's old, it's outdated, it's wrong, and it's actually something that we should argue against. Some people won't even go to oppose it, but many people do. And Saul at the time, the way he did it was first it was try to talk people out of it, and when they wouldn't do that, try to throw them in jail to get them to change their minds. And when they wouldn't do that, he said, I was a part of casting my vote against them to have them killed. Even those sorts of things we see today. So Saul had these sorts of things, and he didn't seem like he was trying to fill some God-shaped hole. He already thought that he was where he wanted to be. But then there's this encounter, and we'll look at that. In Acts chapter 9, we start with a story that Saul has been given the authority to go and persecute Christians in a city called Damascus. He even writes, I was doing it in my own city, and that wasn't good enough, so I got the authority to go to other places because I was so vehement. I was so angry and raged to stop these people. So as Saul was coming near the city of Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Blinding lights that are calling your name. That's not an awkward situation. And then in Acts 26, Saul tells what his response was. And he says, who are you, Lord? I asked. And the Lord answered, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. But get up, stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant. You're to tell others what you have seen of me today and what I'll show you in the future. This encounter, something that struck me as I was reading it, was like Jesus shows up and doesn't say, hey, so I'm actually real. How about you stop persecuting me? He shows up and says, look, you've been wrong, and here's what will happen. It's not, do you want to sign up for this job? It's, here's your job now. I have something for you to do. And as a church, we've taken kind of four headings out of this that comes from it to make it maybe easier to put it in your mind. First, there's an encounter. It starts there. Saul thinks he knows what is happening, and then he has an encounter and realizes Jesus is really alive, and Jesus is really involved with what happens. He knows what's going on. And our hope is that you also will have that sort of encounter where you know Jesus is really alive and he is really involved in what's happening in your life. The second heading was illumination, or just shining a light on things. Beforehand, it was like Saul was blind, and then this flashing light comes around him and starts showing him things that he never really noticed before. And as Jesus says to him, like, you will tell people about what you've seen today. Okay, I've shown you something today, but it's not just once. He says, and the things that I will continue to show you in the future. And that's also part of what we see of becoming more like Jesus, of following this roadmap, is that we're continuing to learn and we're continuing to shine light in places where we were maybe ignorant before. We want to have that illumination from God. The third step is then transformation. Because education without change really isn't doing much. And so it's not just that Saul is now learning all these things about Jesus, but it's actually changing the way he lived, the way he thought, the way he acted. And he does have a very big change from someone who is trying to fight with people who follow Jesus to now trying to convince people that they should follow Jesus. And he said, before I did it out of rage. In my rage, I was doing this action, but now, he says, the love of Jesus compels me to invite people. You see an outward change, but also a very important inward change, a transformation in Paul's life. And then the fourth part in this roadmap is destination. That Jesus says, there's a purpose for your life now. There's a change of direction, but you have something worth doing and a direction that now I want you to go. You are to be my servant to go tell other people. And in your life, I hope that you know that God has a direction for you as well. That it's not simply, yes, I know Jesus is real. And yes, I've learned some stuff about him. And yes, my life is changing. But you also have that last step of, and I have a purpose. That there is some reason why God put me on this earth to show other people more about him. To be one who, like Jesus, went to the weak and the hurting and helped them. Went to those who were depressed, those who felt like they were lost, and helped them get back on track. I mean, it starts with this encounter on the road to Damascus, but then it leads to changing so much. And I hope that you have that kind of encounter that diffuses aggression in your life, that humbles pride that you had before and changes the priorities that you had before. And one way that this gets shown decades later, Saul writes this in Philippians, and I love it. And things that I once considered valuable, I now consider worthless. I've thrown them all away so I can put my trust and hope in Christ alone. And everything is worthless when compared with that priceless gain of knowing Jesus. I'm much better off knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And I consider it all as mere garbage so that I may gain Christ and be completely united with him. For now my place is in him, and I'm not dependent upon being good enough or on this self-achieved righteousness. I have God's approval because of Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith, counting on Christ alone. How changed are my ambitions now? I've given up everything else and found it's the only way to really know Christ and to experience that mighty power that brought him back to life again. Also, to find out what it means to suffer and to die with Jesus. So whatever it takes, I will be one who lives in the fresh newness of life, of those who are alive from the dead. So forgetting what was behind me, and straining for what is in front, I press on toward the high calling that God has for me. Those are some of the things Saul said, and I hope that throughout maybe the next 3 months, if that's all you're here, or throughout the next year, or throughout your life, you'd be able to say something similar to that. And by the end, you can say, my life has changed. Things that I thought were valuable, now those aren't really that important. What is important is this. I know Jesus. I'm connected with him.